Good morning. It is always a pleasure for me to come back here and be in your midst. For many reasons. One main reason is that this is where my husband and I got married a few years ago, and so I always remember that special evening. And I always look forward to the interesting conversations that I have with all of you after I preach. I can always anticipate reaction and response. And based on my preliminary research for today's reflection, I know I'm going to get some reactions from you. There's one thing I'm certain of after my work on this reflection this week. The very mention of Valentine's Day draws reactions. Sometimes very intense reactions from many people. It makes some people giddy. It makes some people roll their eyes in indignation. It makes some people dreamy and pine for their beloved. It makes a lot of people anxious. And it makes some people very sad. One thing I haven't heard is that I haven't heard anyone say that Valentine's Day makes them think about God or about their faith. Or about their love of God. No, it seems that Valentine's Day brings lots of other emotions and thoughts to people's minds. One of my friends, who is a mother of two, said that while she balked at the commercial aspect of Valentine's Day, she spends the whole day talking about love with her children. And she wrote love in capital letters, L-O-V-E. They share stories about love, and they talk about their love for each other. A friend of mine who's a teacher said that she was pretty much indifferent to the day on a personal level, but that a few years ago when she was teaching at her Catholic school, she had an assignment where the students reflected on the 1 Corinthians passage that we just heard read. And they wrote out concrete examples of kindness, patience, support without jealousy. She wrote, "It was a cool experience for getting to know my students better." An acquaintance of mine wrote, "With most advertising, it is difficult not to experience Valentine's Day as a glorification of coupledom, partnership. For people not in such a relationship, it can be a reminder of loss, longing, grief, disappointment, or just feeling like a wallflower." She continued, "Lately, I tend to try to ignore it, as it is a reminder of a dream not yet fulfilled." A colleague of mine wrote that she remembered being a child making valentines with construction paper and doilies, and getting heart-shaped candies that tasted like chalk with little messages on them like, "Hug me," or "Be mine." They now read, "Text me." A friend of mine said, "I hate Valentine's Day because it feels forced and false, and it brings me dangerously close to despising love." And finally, someone summed it up all by saying, "Valentine's Day is like a minefield. It's fine if you manage to get through it, but you don't always know which step will trigger an explosion that will ruin everything." That's a lot of emotion for one day. How do we get to this place? And whatever happened to the saint part of St. Valentine's Day? Is there any relevance of this day for us as Christians? So you know I'm a historian, so that's where I'm going to start off, with the historical evidence for St. Valentine, and the evidence is slim. According to academic studies, there were at least two men, possibly three, all bearing the same name, Valentinus, or we would say Valentine in English. One was Valentine of Rome, a Christian priest who was martyred. That is, he died for his faith around the year 269, and he's buried on the Via Flaminia in Rome. Another was Valentine of Terni, who was a Christian bishop of the town of Terni. He also was martyred during the persecutions of Emperor Aurelian. These two men shared the same name and shared a similar dedication to their faith and love of God that they were willing to die for their faith. That's all we know about them, these two men for whom Valentine's Day is named. Now, their stories were conflated over the centuries to a single narrative about one man who was known as a saint from approximately the year 500 on. But the Roman Catholic Church removed Valentine from the calendar of saints in 1969 because there just wasn't enough factual information about him for the basis of belief. Yet Valentine's Day remains a multi-million dollar business today and causes both dreams of romance and angst of rejection for folks. What happened to cause this? In a word, embellishment. Creative embellishment. And actually, I like to call it holy embellishment. When a storyline is minimal, especially in hagiography, that is lives about the saints, these holy people that we uphold as models, we like to flesh out the details that make this so the story becomes relevant for us. We go beyond the facts, which are minimal, and tell stories with greater detail in order to get at truths that we need to hear. Necessarily, hagiography or saints' lives change over time. Since the faithful, that is we change over time in our spiritual needs. So over the centuries, the figure of Saint Valentine was transformed from two duty-bound and faithful clergy into one man who acted as a romantic go-between, and even later, who became a man who became hopelessly in love himself. These stories about the two Valentinuses circulated with such success and became so popular that people could hear the name Valentine and think of love and romance rather than Christian faith, personal vocation, or love of God. It started around the 13th century, 1200s, just at the time when romantic love literature was created and the notion of romantic love was created. The problem for Christian clergy is that the notion of romantic love in this literature was all adulterous. In fact, Andreas Capellanus, who wrote a handbook on love, wrote, "Love necessarily ends upon marriage." There was a need to transform the notion of romantic love, and we start seeing it in the inclusion of certain details into this life of Valentine. First of all, we start hearing more about his faith life. Apparently, he tried to evangelize the emperor who was persecuting him. He loved his faith so much, that was a use in the text. He never wavered. He tried to convert Claudius. And in an effort to inspire a swoon or two, someone added the idea that Valentine was actually arrested and executed because he had flagrantly disobeyed the new imperial law forbidding marriage. According to this text, the emperor had forbidden marriage because he thought married soldiers were weaker soldiers. And according to this legend, Valentine, as a priest, thought, no, I'm going to keep marriage going. And he intervened and presided over marriages secretly. And for this reason, he was executed. More was added, though. He did a miracle. Right before he was executed, he healed the blindness of a girl. Within a few decades, by the 14th century, this girl became a love interest in the texts about Valentine. And on the eve of his death, he wrote her a letter, telling her of his passionate love for her. And he signed it, "Your Valentine." First mention of that is the 14th century, well over 1,000 years after the two Valentinuses had lived. Through the centuries, it seems people needed to hear stories about clergy who facilitate marriage and who themselves fall in love. For better or for worse, remembering Valentinus has been linked to notions of love, and romantic love in particular, ever since. It's a lovely story that sells greeting cards, candy, and now even jewelry. But it's an evolving story that has skewed the meaning of commemorating the man or the men who died for their faith. The hagiography that has continued to circulate and even evolve focuses on some truths about the human condition, that is, truths about love. But I wonder if there are other truths found in that kernel of the story that date back from the 5th century on. I wonder if we can use some new versions of the story. For me, when I consider the accounts that we know about the two men named Valentine who were martyred, thoughts of red hearts and doilies no longer come to mind. Instead, I reflect on the conviction of the faith, their faith, to face death. I reflect on their inner strength of character, their integrity. And I can get just as creative as any 13th or 14th century writer, but instead of adding a love angle, which I don't need in this story of Valentine, I need something else. I muse about their prayer life. What must their spiritual devotions have been like so that they could face martyrdom so courageously? As a Roman Catholic laywoman, I'm looking for leaders with integrity, leaders who speak truth to authority figures and who are willing to accept the consequences. I'm looking for ordained leaders with deep, deep faith. What does love have to do with that? I think love has everything to do with my version of this story. A fervent love of God, a fervent love of Christ, a deep love of faith, and a pure love of self, in the sense that Valentinus dedicated his life to love of God and lived out of a sense of vocation from this love. From our reading from 1 Corinthians, I can imagine better how Valentine spoke to the emperor when Claudius was coercing him, badgering him, bullying him into renouncing his faith. In response, Valentine, in my version, spoke with love of his true faith, and his voice resonated deeply and strongly in a marble room. In my version of the story, Valentine spoke with the love of the mysteries of faith, and as he spoke, Valentine's faith deepened more, even more than he had thought possible. The image I have of Valentine is that he stands in simple clothes, perhaps wearing sandals, perhaps barefoot, before the emperor who sits on a marble throne sporting gold and jewels, surrounded by slaves bearing food and drink for his pleasure. Standing there with no books, no notes, with only the clothes on his back, Valentine spoke patiently of his beliefs in response to the volatile and even dismissive snorts of the emperor. Valentine did not waver in his faith. He accepted the consequences. Love is not boastful or arrogant. It does not insist on its own way. It bears all things. Valentine faced his death calmly, and in doing so, influenced the faith of people who witnessed his death. In my retelling of the story of Valentine, love is smack dab at the center. But the love he taught us is the love of Christ, and the love of self, in the sense of choosing to dedicate oneself to that love of Christ. Swedenborg knew this and wrote of this when he wrote, "Love is our life. Even though the word love is so commonly on our tongues, still hardly anyone knows what love is. When we stop to think about it, we find that we cannot form any image of it in our thoughts. So we say either that is not really anything, or that is simply something that flows into us from our sight, hearing, touch, and conversation, and therefore influences us. We are wholly unaware that it is our very life. Not just the general life of our whole body and all of our thoughts, but the life of every least detail. Swedenborg captures what can be found at the center of the life or the lives of Valentinus. Valentinus lived his love of the divine. So in my version of the story of Valentine, love is at the center. Valentine was a Christian man, ordained as a leader whose faith compelled him to live love even in the face of authoritarian rejection and execution. His story is one of love, yes, and that a love that buoyed him to stay true to himself, true to his faith, and true to his God. This story points out some of what I'm looking around for in ordained leadership. What about you? What does this story do for you, individually and as a faith community? What are the versions of St. Valentine's story that you tell? Knowing very well that your community is in ongoing discernment about leadership, how do you flesh out who Valentine looked like? What did Valentine look like as an ordained leader? The facts we know about him are very few, but the truths that we can find in his life are many. And it's up to each of us to flesh out his story. What story will you tell about him tomorrow on St. Valentine's Day?